ました。
Good morning, everybody. But before we commence with our work for today, I'd like maybe to apologize a little bit because of the inconvenience by some of the technology here inside here. I think that problem has been overcome. We're being assisted by some of our colleagues because we thought that it is a major thing while it was a minor thing. The plastic was not on at the back. Therefore, to all of you, before I start to introduce the subject of today, I'll request the honorable members to introduce themselves and everybody inside here to introduce himself or herself. My name is Pat Bande. I'm the chairperson of this committee. Originally, I'm from Mpumalanga province. Over to you, members.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, everybody. I'm Brisela Jacobs, representing the Free State.
Good morning, I'm Aaron Groenewald, representing the Northwest Province and a member of the committee.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Zola Mlenzana, member of the Select Committee from the province of the Eastern Cape.
Without wasting any time, I'll request maybe the department to introduce itself before I give it this opportunity to staff and the other people.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Mzuonga Tabando. I'm the Director General of the Department of Public Works. I'm going to ask my colleagues to introduce themselves.
Morning, Chair, and morning, Honourable Members. My name is Cox Mukoro. I'm the Chief Finance Officer for Public Works.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. My name is Peter Chiapasco, acting as DDG Asset Investment Management. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, Honourable Members. I'm Solomon Sobada.
Did you switch it off the other side? Oh, yes, open it, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. I'm Florence Rabada, and I'm the Chief Director for Immovable Asset Register Management in the Department of Public Works in Pretoria.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Diana Lekoma. I'm responsible for Parliamentary and Intergovernmental Relations, Department of Public Works.
Morning, Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Thomas Moyer. I'm with DPW Finance.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Mpoma Shaba and I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer.
Thank you very much. I'll give this opportunity to our staff as well as other people to introduce themselves as well.
Good morning, everyone. Shoaib Ibn Haysom, Content Advisor to the Committee.
Good morning, everyone. Pilot Global Committee Secretary.
Over to you at the back as well, including PMG. Start from you, Claudine.
Good morning, I'm Claudine, I'm
the assistant. I didn't hear that one. Come closer to the mic.
Good morning, I'm Claudine, I'm the assistant.
Come closer to the mic.
Claudine,
come
assistant to the committee.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Come closer to the mic. Good morning, everyone. My name is Sibo Maputi. I'm from Parliamentary Communications.
What about you, sir?
Good morning, I'm Telson Doucette from PMG.
Thank you.
Morning, I'm Siavon Mkwanazi from the New Age.
Hi, good morning. My name is Lukhani Khalat. I'm from the SABC.
Thank you. I think everybody will have to introduce except yourself. Come and introduce yourself.
Good morning, everyone. This is Samazwana, multimedia photographer, Parliament.
Thank you very much. May you please switch it off this?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think procedurally we try to introduce ourselves for the day and what I wanted to say. Honorable members and the department and everybody here, you are more than welcomed. And coincidentally, one of our members have joined us. Ma'am, before you sit down, I'll request you to introduce yourself.
Morning. Nagi Met Priscilla Temba, a member of this committee representing Mpumalanga in the National Council of Provinces. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As I indicated, my name is Pat Sibande, the chairperson of this committee. I'm representing Mpumalanga Province. But nevertheless, the business of the day. Today, we are expecting an update by the Department of Public Works on work done towards realization of the complete access register by 2014. And let me request a few things. Honourable members, as well as our visitors here, I request you to switch your cell phone off when we start our business so that we can continue peacefully. So, and then, without wasting any time, I'd like to give this opportunity to the department, because the department, if you recall very well in our records, there was a deadline which was put aside to say, at least by this time, we should have this information about the development, about the issue of the assets register. But nevertheless, we'll give you this opportunity to take us on board. Over to you, sir.
Honorable Chair and honorable members of the committee, we have prepared a presentation which is going to be done by my colleague, Mr. Peter Chiapasco. As Director General, I'm leading the delegation, and then I will be able to deal with the questions at the end of the, during the interaction session. With your permission, Chair, I will hand over to Mr. Chiapasco immediately to take us on.
Thank you very much, Director General. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and members once again. I am, as the Director General indicated, presenting the progress on the Immovable Asset Register Enhancement Program. Since our last meeting with the committee in August 2012, as members will know, the Asset Register Enhancement Program is a key program of the department, and it has been run in conjunction with the Provincial Public Works, Rural Development, and other custodians in government. An outline of the presentation, which really deals with the entirety of the project, is to provide progress on the Immovable Asset Register Enhancement Program, an update on the vesting status, where are we with the National Treasury sector-specific guide, specifically for this year moving forwards, as this prescribes the accounting treatment for the assets, an indication of the IE Works system, which we will be using for the Immovable Asset Register, sharing with the committee an action plan on the Immovable Asset Register plan for national and provincial public works, an indication of what has materialized as the current status of custodianship, some initial ideas on the extension of the principles of GIAMA to local government as it deals with Immovable Asset Registers, and then to share with the committee the outcome, which is an improved outcome for the 2012-13 audit in relation to immovable assets. The first part of the presentation then deals with overall program progress for Department's Immovable Asset Register. From the inception of the program in November 2011 through to the 31st of March 2013, I'm pleased to report the following progress. We have had several deeds downloads from Department of Rural Development, which have assisted us reconcile the assets that are registered in the Deeds Office of Rural Development. there has been desktop cleansing for registered land parcels, as well as portfolio of evidence for each and every asset from that. This information is normally needed for accounting treatment and auditor general evidentiary information. We have reconciled the provincial DPWs and human settlements for deeds for assets registered in the deeds office with our own immovable asset register. We have substantially linked structures to land parcels. We are currently sourcing, or we have been sourcing, other information sources to provide as much knowledge of all types of assets that could have slipped through our fingers in the compilation of this program, and we are using specifically the user asset management plans that are required to be provided by national custodians, external databases of information, all sorts of information we can get to assist us put together a complete asset register. We've created a repository in the IE Works, which is the system that we have as Public Works, for cleansed immovable asset register data, meaning that as and when we cleanse certain sections of the asset register, we have a static copy, and that then is the reliable information source at any point in time. We have procured physical verification tool and software. We have formulated a draft custodian framework for national public works, as well as the capitalization policy which is required for accounting treatments. The global state land reconciliation has been completed. To share with the honorable members and the committee an overview of the program as it will take us through to March 2014, being the current financial year, there's an ongoing deeds refresher for registered land parcels. As and when custodians are transacting on assets, there's a constant need to be updating your information. We have built an immovable asset register for, we are building the immovable asset register for surveyed and unregistered land parcels, which is a second category. We're currently building the immovable asset register for state domestic facilities. Again, a reminder, state domestic facilities refer to assets which are built by the state, but the land on which they exist is not owned by the state. And there's a reconciliation to eventually regularize this in the process of completing the immovable asset register. We are pleased to announce that we've commenced a physical verification on all national DPW properties. We have sourced the assistance of service providers to conduct a physical verification. This will lead to informing us the state of the asset, who the resident tenant is, a user department for instance, the amount of space in the asset that they're using, and this program is underway. We are currently compiling and implementing immovable asset register policies. Currently they're focusing specifically on the financial side of things. Example, the capitalization policy, a policy on componentization. We have to, as national, reduce our assets to the principal asset as well as components. We have commenced with capitalization with effect from the 1st of April. We are in process to apply fair value across our asset register based on the 2013 municipal valuation rolls. And the valuation division is currently linking to determine which municipalities, in fact, are having the 2013 roll and which are still using earlier rolls. We're using the information to audit the rates and taxes that are being paid and linking that to the information back on the immovable asset register. This is commencing with this exercise that will take some time owing to the number of the assets. As national, we've developed an interim operating model, meaning that we want to put together this asset register and ensure that there's a program structure thereafter that will keep the asset register intact. The final design of the operating model is currently being conceptualized. We are also looking to advance our Operation Bring Back, which was the amnesty call for missing or lost assets. The program is currently being repackaged with a view to initiating or reviving the initiative on this specific issue. And clearly, as we move towards the end of the financial year, the annual financial statements, the notes, the narrative for all the custodians will become an issue of some importance. The slide that's presented is just to share with you the overall program for the immovable asset register. I apologize for the level of detail. It's quite a busy picture. The green actions on the left indicate what has been done, and I've spoken to that already, from November 2011 to March 2013. We have 3 years to go, which will take us to 31st March 2016, and there are actions and time frames for each year end leading to then. What I'd specifically like to say is the blue boxes indicate the key milestones, and the second blue box from the left indicates the overall target we need to meet. And to recap, the immovable asset register complete and accurate for registered land and substantially complete for unregistered, as well as first round fair value. There was quite a significant move for the National Department of Public Works in migrating the asset register to the PMTE, as well as the need to ensure compliance with GRAP 17 in international accounting standards. This placed a new layer of work that had to be done. What I'd like to point out in the slide that's currently being presented is overall progress on the key issues, the accounting financial statements disclosure looking at list A, D, B, and E for registered land parcels, surveyed, unregistered land parcels, provincial registered land, provincial surveyed and unregistered land, as well as the improvements. You will see that the financial years are indicated, and at the bottom in red, you will notice that specifically the audit for National Public Works has moved from a disclaimer to a qualified audit, which is certainly an improvement. And we hope to build on achievements to date in the current financial year. And in the 2013-14, you can see that we are looking at further work in reconciling registered land parcels, the yellow 35,000, as well as making significant progress on the surveyed unregistered land parcels, being the 3,127, as well as the 73,435 improvements that exist on all these land parcels. Of interest, you will notice in 2013-14, they're not applicable. The sector-specific guide requires that the 13,703 and the 4,125 assets that hitherto have been reflected on the accounting statements of the National Department of Public Works will now be disclosed by the provinces, as these are in fact provincial assets. This is how it's been agreed with the Office of the Accountant General, and the differential here is that it has to do with registration or vesting, and that is no longer the requirement for a disclosing of an asset by national, and it needs to be disclosed by the relevant custodian. Moving on to slide 8, this is a very important slide as it gives us the national state reconciliation as at October. This, however, includes only registered, unregistered, and Section 42 land parcels, meaning that there's quite a few unregistered, unsurveyed properties that will still be added to this, and what we hope to do in future is come with a slide that eventually builds to the real total of what the state portfolio is. But for the categories registered, unregistered, and Section 42, you will see that just below the yellow line, there's total deemed state land of 184,011, and that is broken across the page to the custodians. National Public Works has 34,571, Rural Development 25,202, other custodians, example Water Affairs or International Relations is 167, Human Settlements have by far the largest chunk of the pie, and that is 85,503. And the nine provinces collectively have 38,568. A new deeds download has been requested, and this is part of the ongoing reconciliation. The yellow line indicates that the national and provincial public works, the provinces, are reconciling the last 1,459 to ensure that they are vested with the appropriate custodian, meaning that at the moment there's some discussion on whether in fact the 1,459 belongs to national or provincial. So it's about allocating the custodian appropriately and custodianship, and the teams nationally and provincially are working on this. The green indicates, in terms of the sector-specific guide that's been amended, the 13703 and the 4125 that will now be reflected by provinces from this financial year. Section 42 transfer certificates are required, and these are currently in preparation, to place the asset in the custodianship of the provinces. Sorry, just on that page, the last column, which refers to the nine provinces, is then broken down per province on the subsequent slide. So the total column on the next page is still the 26 at the top and the 24 at the bottom, and it's worked back to show exactly where the assets are in each specific province. So for example, in the case of the Eastern Cape, there are 40 slides in the yellow belt, you can see, that we are still discussing with the Eastern Cape in relation to custodianship. In terms of the light blue, the total of 13,000 that has to be disclosed by the various provincial custodians, you will notice using Eastern Cape that there's 1,333 that they are now going to be disclosing in terms of the sector-specific guide, no longer National Public Works, because it's their assets. It just happens not to be registered at the moment. If we move to the next slide, this is just to indicate within the total figure of 184,000, there were properties on our asset registers that had been devolved to provinces. So this figure is within the total of 184, but it's just for the provinces and ourselves to ensure reconciliation of the custodianship. Most of it's done. There in yellow at the bottom you have the 1230, and this relates to the 14, I think it was on the previous page. It's part of that. It's the 1459. This is an element of the 1459, and this is ongoing reconciliations. The number has come down significantly. When the program started, it was hitting 4,000-5,000. It's now down to 1,230. The discussions between the custodians mean visits to the properties, understanding who's using it, what it was built for, and this gives clarity as to who ultimately is the final custodian. Slide 11 indicates progress being made on the physical verification for the National Department of Public Works. As a matter of interest, we are apprised that the provinces are also commencing here and there with their own verification processes, but this specific slide talks just to us. You will notice the grey in each column, the longest bar, is what we need to achieve by the end of March. We have to have visited all these sites and verified the information. And you will notice per month, the target is yellow. The white is what has been achieved. In terms of the secondary service provider having gone to view the assets, there's a quality and assurance process, which is the third column, the third bar in each column that is presented in black. So the SSPs go to site, they photograph, they provide the information over electronically to us, they do their own quality assurance processes. But when it comes to us, before we can put it on the asset register, we want to be satisfied and have our own quality assurance process on that. And this is then an indication of where we are. Clearly, there's a very long way to go, and certainly the next 5 months are going to be very busy, and the service providers, we have regular meeting with them, with our calls to order. They've been going at this for about 2 months already, and it's certainly managing and monitoring the service providers. In relation to the vesting status, I think there are two slides that talk to this. The first one, which is projecting at the moment, is the situation with National Department of Public Works. You will notice that in the asset register, our total land parcels is 39,812. Sometimes these figures change because of the monthly reconciliations. But going back to the information provided in August, this is what the secondary service providers are looking at. 39,812, of which historically 15,032 have been vested. You will recall, vesting is amongst departments to agree who is the custodian for a specific asset. We have a very large number still to vest, and this is 24,780. Our target is 31st March 2016, and we are partnering with the provinces and rural development in this process. We have, as a department, compiled our own vesting business case to see that this target is met. There is a supply line or a pipeline of data that we provide through to rural development, which they then have to process and issue the Section 28.1 certificate. There have been challenges in their capacity to turn this thing around, and in recent Director General to Director General bilaterals, it's been indicated that they have obtained ministerial approval for an amplification of their structure to provide more capacity to deal with the vesting, not only for us, but as well for the provinces. What rural development and the public works family are currently doing is finalizing a vesting business case that says, in total, this is the pipeline that's coming from each province and national. Here are 24,000. What do they need to have in terms of capacity? What has been approved as capacity? Is that in fact enough? What about the costs? So the vesting business case is currently in development with rural development to ensure that the 31st March 2016 target is met. In terms of the overall picture, this is the 45,000 on the next slide, you will see that National has vested 15,000, Rural Development has vested 9,800, Provincial Public Works and Infrastructure Development have vested 20,358, Human Settlements have vested 438. So what's been vested is 45. But for the provincial lines, that 20,358, if you subtract that from the total provincial assets, there's 13,703 that the provincial public works still need to vest. And that is captured in one of the earlier slides when it's broken back per province. That is it's not an insignificant number, but certainly it's at least half the number that National Public Works has to vest. I've captured the notes. I've spoken to the notes in relation to the vesting business case. And we can move on to the next slide, which talks to the National Treasury Sector-Specific Guide. As indicated, until 31st March 2013, the previous financial year, Public Works was disclosing provincial properties that had not yet been vested. The key amendment in the sector-specific guide on page 16 was in fact to correct that. The yardstick is no longer whether the land parcel is vested or not. It's whether in fact it's surveyed or not. And there's a key requirement for the surveying or the issue, if you like, of an SG diagram to be issued by the 30th of September. So to take the committee quickly through the issues, the key issues on the sector-specific guide, there were, by the way, further discussions as late as last Friday with the provinces, National Public Works, and the Office of the Accountant General, just to fine-tune this information and to ensure mainly that there is clarity on how this is applied. So in summary then, unsurveyed land will be disclosed by rural development and land reform across the board. From the 1st of April this year, once the custodian has confirmed that the registered land parcel is theirs, the custodian will be required to reflect these in the asset register and the annual financial statements, regardless of whether it's vested or not vested. From the 1st of April, once the custodian has received the survey general diagram from rural development, the custodian will be required to reflect these surveyed and not registered land parcels in their asset register and financial statement. So this is about just clarifying, regardless of whether they're vested or not, if you as custodian, if these are your assets, you will disclose them in your financials as well as the register. Where it is not clear, or where an SG diagram has not been received by the 30th of September, the land parcel will be disclosed by rural development. So rural development are now catching all the properties that have not been processed to the point of a survey general diagram. What this sector-specific guide does is give clarity and uniformity across the family of custodians as to who discloses what in the process of maturing the asset register. National, we will disclose all facilities used by national government which are located on unsurveyed land or surveyed but unregistered land, including the TBVC, the self-governing territories, the Ingonyama Trust in the case of KZN, etc. So we're very clear now on that which we need to disclose. Provinces, in terms of the state domestic facilities as well, will disclose facilities that they use. That is use. The issue here is use by the provincial government, regardless of whether it's on surveyed land or unsurveyed land and the KZN Ingonyama Trust. All properties, and this is quite key, all properties where agreement of custodianship has been reached and a transfer in compliance with Section 42 has been received must be disclosed by the respective custodian. And as indicated, to give further clarity and just to make sure that everybody understands their role in this, there was a meeting held last Friday with the Office of the Accountant General to provide the clarity. A brief information sharing on the IE Works system and its readiness. The Asset Investment Branch in the National Department was required to meet the provinces, which it duly did 2 weeks ago, to understand are the provinces still on board with the IE Works. The IE Works has approximately 5 modules that are completed and almost ready for use across various immovable asset management modules. The key one, obviously, is the asset register, and there's approximately another 7 modules in development to next year. What has been resolved is that the provinces indicated that they would like to work with us and continue with IE Works as the immovable asset register platform for themselves as well as us. In time, this will allow us to read the information collectively and then be able to present a consolidated picture. There were certain recommendations. Right, IE Works is considered as a platform of choice. I've mentioned that. There's certain activities that are required between now and the first quarter of next year. Business users sign-off. Each and every province must be happy with the functionality of the movable asset of the IE Works as it's been developed and give their last changes so that the system can be tweaked for that. The date that is due is 15th December, and that's in consultation with our relevant IS unit that's assisting us with the development. The end user sign-off of the completed modules is due in the first quarter of 2014-15. Data templates to be set up, user acceptance testing and training by DPW, and then a go-live pilot in the new year. Provinces, I think the key thing is in red, provinces will be migrated to the IOS system as and when they have completed their data cleansing exercises and after submitting and verifying their own data. So just as we do, the verification of our asset register goes onto a static copy on IE Works and only after that becomes live. I'd like to quickly share an action plan on the removal asset register moving forwards with various timelines. These are the key issues. The first issue on page 20 is to address management assertions, completeness, existence, rights and obligations, accuracy and valuations, presentation and disclosure, and reconciliation. This is obviously the key audit issue for everybody that is a custodian. There are timelines being March 31st March 2014 and every year thereafter. And there's obviously work going on as constant tracking and reconciliation of the movement of assets. For us, the capitalization of state assets is important, and we've developed a draft policy pending approval for the application of this. The capitalization of assets clearly talks to the current value and any future work that you do on that specific asset in terms of construction, how you add that to get to the capitalized value of the assets. The vesting of state land I've spoken to, and that is key by 31st March. The surveying of state land is key, and our target for that is actually a year earlier, 31st March 2015, still on target though. And the key dependency here is in fact the Chief Surveyor General's office, who have and the National Vesting Task Team to monitor progress. And they're assisting the custodians to survey all the SDFs. The devolution of immovable assets to provinces is 90% complete, and it's the reconciliation I've been discussing. It's those 1,400 that still need to find their final placement. We need to ensure compliance of immovable asset register to relevant prescripts, PFMA, GIAMA, National Treasury. This is ongoing, and certainly there's an audit action plan for each specific year. We're about to start the interim financial audit, and we're gearing up for that. So we as National have an audit action plan to take us through that process. The last two items, we've developed a draft custodial framework, and what this aims to do is to ensure that custodians are operating in sync with one another and talk to one another in perpetuity, if you like, in terms of overall asset management and GIAMA and how we all need to abide by what is required in that legislation. And we've spoken about Operation Bringback and the renewal of this initiative. It's work in progress. We're actually thinking of calling it Operation Takeback, as opposed to bring back, but just to put a spin on where we're going with this. To share with the committee as well the extent to which we do engage with the provinces, and I must indicate that from the public works family specifically in the provinces, we have a very robust relationship, and there are technical MINMEC forums and MINMEC forums, and this is a subject of discussion and report back at all of those fora. We have an asset register reporting template where any movement month by month on assets needs to be provided to us and shared with the provinces from us to ensure that the reconciliation is extremely detailed and precise. It covers all the areas in the asset register, and certainly the provincial public works family are required to submit updates on this by the 10th of every month. Okay, I'm moving on to item 6, which is the allocation of custodianship. We started off the project having an idea of who custodians are. And members will know that the custodianship is normally the preserve of the Office of the Premier to assign to the provincial entity. And specifically, the slide now indicates who the custodians are, and we have documentation to prove that. This is also important from an audit perspective. When the Auditor General wants certainty on who the custodian is, we now have the letters of custodianship to provide as evidentiary information. Typically in the provinces, it's normally human settlements and public works, and in the case of the Free State, interestingly, the Office of the Premier is a custodian. At National, we have public works, defense for their endowment properties, environmental and water affairs, rural development and land reform, agriculture and forestry, as well as international relations that are custodians of their assets abroad currently. What is work to be done in future is the accounting treatment for the disclosure of assets in each province, given the current legislative environment. That will be work moving forwards to ensure that there is an accounting treatment that is consistent. There are a few slides that talk to our thoughts to roll out the extent or to extend the principles of Kiama to local government as it pertains to immovable assets. As members are aware, Kiama provides the framework and basic principles in accordance to which the national and provincial departments have to manage the assets, and it's structured, Kiama is structured around two building blocks, being the role players, who are the custodians and the users, as well as the management processes. But the situation is different in local government because of different legislation that is applicable, etc. So one has to say, is it very easy to just migrate the one over to what we as national and provincial do to the local authority? And so we've been comparing. For instance, in the issue of the role players, at national and provincial we talk about user departments and custodian departments who have to do UAMs and CAMs. In fact, in local government, there isn't an institutional arrangement like that. So what then needs to happen? This is what we're exploring with a view to roll this thing out. What about management processes? Management processes for national and provincial, we require to complete annual immovable asset management plans, for instance, on our asset portfolio. We have to know what we're doing with those assets. Each and every asset needs a life cycle. With local authorities, it's slightly different. There's a Municipal Systems Act where they need to have integrated development plans every 5 years, and there they need to identify which assets they require for what specific purpose. This is a discussion on the Municipal Systems Act and the integrated development plan, as I've indicated, and what they are required to do, and some understanding on the integrated development planning that the local authorities are required to ensure is there and becomes an element of their asset management strategy. There are specific shortcomings, and clearly it's not talking to the Kiama processes. The current position is that due to the key differences in the legal framework and organizational structure of local government, it would be problematic to incorporate local government into existing Kiama legislation currently. DPW currently is of the view that a different approach would be advisable, and it's putting forward two alternatives at the moment for discussion, but certainly this is work moving forwards. The requirements for immovable asset management could be incorporated in a separate set of regulations issued in terms of the Municipal Systems Act, or amending the existing local government municipal planning and performance management regulations that are issued in terms of that act. That is the one alternative. The second is where we're proposing that specific legislation be developed based on the requirements, organizational structure, and existing legal framework of governing municipalities. And this will be the subject of further debate. We have renewed the discussions with Department of Cooperative Governance regarding an optimal approach towards extending the principles of Kiama to local government. And certainly our punchline is to say we'd like to reach agreement on specific objectives commencing in 2014-15. We're nearing the end of the presentation, members, and this is to share with members how did we do as the Public Works family, national and provincial, in the audit of, or the Auditor General's response, if you like, to the immovable asset register submission. For Public Works, as indicated in our initial opening slides, there was a move, definitely an improvement, from disclaimer to qualified. And when you actually break that down for the asset register, you will notice that we, in fact, were unqualified for all 1, 2, 3, 4. We were unqualified for 5 of the 6 key assertions, meaning that beyond just the qualified label, it was actually a significant improvement within that. And the only qualification came on the issue of the valuation, that we did not have fair value for all our assets. This is actually the wording that talks to that specific issue on the valuation, and that's provided for information. And the work to value the asset register is work on the go, and certainly the priority assertion to be met by 31st March. We will apply the fair value model to all our properties, and the capitalization policy will be applied to all work in progress amounts, and we hope that this will certainly improve the situation for valuation. The slide presented now indicates the status of the other custodians in the provinces, again the public works family. Eastern Cape were disclaimed, Free State qualified, Gauteng unqualified, as were KZN, and Limpopo received a disclaimer. The information is before you, Mpumalanga unqualified, Northwest disclaimed, Northern Cape unqualified, as were Western Cape unqualified. And this information is reliable. It has been checked with the provinces. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Did you any
addition? No, thanks, sir. I think we are ready for discussion.
Ready for discussion.
Okay. Honourable members, that was the presentation from the Department of Public Works, but in procedural, we must interact or we must have discussion or this presentation. Then I'd like to give this opportunity to you to start. Myself will be the last one to ask any question. Honourable members, this is your opportunity. Honourable members, are you ready? Grunewald, I'll start with you. Followed by Mama, followed by Babu Jacob, followed by Mama Chan.
Thank you, Chairperson. You're a bit quick on mine. It's fine. Now, thank you for the presentation. I think that is a big job you have done up to now, and there's a lot of things to be done into the future as well. We had a set of dates, cut-off dates, and it seems to me some of the dates we are not reaching at this stage. And the first one is the vesting. The date we have there was 2014 March, and if I listen to you now, it is now March 2016. I want to know why we moved this date again. If you see, so when we started with this asset register and the teams we sent into the different provinces, I think we are not on target at this stage in many occasions. That is the first thing. And if I listen to you, you are in a position now to tell us as committee exactly how many land belongs to the state now at this stage, how many human settlements belong to the state, and I want also to know where are the title deeds of all these property. Is it in the hands of the state, or is it still flying around somewhere that we do not know where it is? So that is very important for me. And then we can see how far are we really, if the title deed is in the position of the right people. I also want to know who will be the responsible person in the department to keep the asset register updated, because that is also important. And you mentioned that the provinces will do it, but I want to know who's the responsible person in the province or in the department who will see that these asset registers is keeping update from now on further. Otherwise, we are back basically to the same problem we've had now at this stage. Okay, I mentioned that the vesting completed in 2014, and the date is moved now. What is also important, and you mentioned it also, is I want to know exactly what is the relationship between the teams working in the provinces to get all this information for the asset register with your as department. Sometimes I got a feeling that the provinces are not willing to help you get all these properties in place. I also want to know how big are the teams in the provinces. And is there teams in all the provinces at this stage? And who is looking after them? Is it from your side, or do you have managers in each and every province to control the whole situation? I also want to know what is the total budget we have for this whole program since we started with it, and it is supposed to start in 2007-2008, up to now, and how many times do we look into the budget again and ask for more money from the state to complete this whole program? Okay, and okay. My last question is: you mentioned also that that you will get a report back from Public Works every 10th of the month. And I also want to know, what guarantee do you have that Public Works will give you this information? Because if you look into Public Works, they are totally in chaos at some places in the country. And I can't see that you can say you will get information back at the 10th of every month. What measure do you have to put on them that you see you can get that information on time? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much, Sam. Honourable Member Jacobs.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and thanks for the presentation. I'm not going to be long. I've got only three questions. The first one is an issue on dates. I'm very much concerned about the dates. The last time when you gave us here, the last date was September 2013. And now dates have been shifted now up to 2016. Or is it strategically knowing that maybe some of us won't be here by 2016? And I would have loved what I've started to complete it. But as it is, it's quite clear you are not going to meet those targets. I've got a problem with that. And the other one, it's a lot of documentation. It's detailed. Everything is detailed. It seems as if you have done your job. But where is the first draft? Let's say you should with this documentation, you should be having a first draft or a second draft or a third draft, so that we should know exactly if you are saying we are having a state land in the Free State, where is that state land? And you are able to tell us there are challenges in this. This has been confirmed and so on. But as it is, it's just a lot of documentation without the specifics. I'm very much interested in specifics. There are no specifics here. Maybe if we... Because even the last time I raised that and even said, we need to know that because where we are staying, we know the state land, some of the state lands. We just want to check whether that state land has been included in the first draft, the second draft, and the third draft. And you have not complied to that. You are still giving us a meat without bones. A meat with bones. There is no meat, but it's just a lot of bones. And the last one, on the issue of ownership of land, who has the final authority? Because we have the land which belongs to the municipality, the land which belongs to the province, the land which belongs to national. In all these lands, who has the final authority? Because sometimes you want to use the land for certain things. What do you have to do? If the province say, no, this is my land, you can't use it, or the municipality say, this is my land, you can't use it. Who has the final authority on all these lands that we are talking about? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Member Chamber.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me thank the department for the presentation. Even though I feel the presentation is like we are starting. When we started, as we were new members of this committee, I remember very well we were at Gordon's Bay when we were doing the strategic planning of the committee. And we gave ourselves some targets to say we will deal with this. But when we every time when you come here, we do raise these issues. But I don't understand whether when you go back, you put what the committee has raised aside and then forget. The chairperson asked to take off the battery. I really don't understand whether when you go back you put everything aside and you forget what the member has raised. Because at this point in time, as my colleague was saying, this is the time when we want to actually get the results. Because you've been dealing with this since when? Since 2009, when we started as the new members of the committee. But even taking from those who were part of this committee when we were not there. Chair, if maybe the department can tell us, do you as the department have specific committee in provinces from different departments, a committee that you are working with? If you can tell us, do you have and how often do you meet with this committee? And on your breakdown per province, definitely I'm not really satisfied with it. Because if I can tell you in the street number so-and-so, like you are saying, you visited these properties, you understand who's using what, but what do you do in the case where you find that there is somebody occupying that property, whereas it's a person who's not supposed to be there? Or do you have such cases, if you can just outline to us, tell us, do you have such cases? Because if you can talk to us, we do have, you know, serving in this committee, when you go around in our own provinces, we do see these things. And when you come here, you give us the clean, the nice picture of what you are doing. But what is happening in provinces is not what you are telling us. Slide 16, page 16, if maybe you can clarify us more on this. Really, if you can clarify, if you can give us the results per province. Because what you are giving us per province, you are not being specific. And you have developed a draft policy. Can you tell us when will this draft become a policy, not a draft? And your robust relationship on asset register, reporting template with provinces, can you clarify us how robust is this relationship? Also, letters to all provinces, confirm, it's page 23, slide number 23, letters to all provinces to confirm custodianship have been sent out, all the provinces have been responded. You know, that also I kulum gahle. Let it speak to us, tell us. You know, we were on, when we did taking Parliament to the people recently, I think 2 weeks or 3 weeks back, we were in Tuan. But where we were, the people were talking about the houses that belonged to the former Butputatuan. Those houses, that the people that stay in there. How do you make follow-up on... How do you have this in your in your program, that those houses, you check who's staying there? In Limpopo, do you know who's staying in the government houses in Limpopo? Because that's also what, when we went to Limpopo, something that was raised. You find that Priscilla is staying, supposed to be staying in this house, but Jacobs is staying there. In all provinces, are you really putting your efforts to make sure that these state properties, even here in Cape Town, are you doing that? The Department of Public Works here told us sometimes even if a person gets out of the house, doesn't report, tell you that I've gone out and those houses are being vandalized. Can you tell us maybe how many houses per province are being vandalized or are empty? That's why I'm saying the way you have presented to us, it's like we are starting, and we are towards the end of the fourth term, where we should be saying, like my colleague was saying, when we were members of the Select Committee on Public Works, we have achieved this. And through your help, because we tried to assist you, to give you information, so that when you come back, when you say breakdown per province, you say in White River, we've got so many houses and so many are being occupied, so many are not being occupied, so many are being vandalized, and this is what we are doing. And in the province, we're speaking to, we've got the committee of Department of Human Settlement, and we're meeting after, you know, in Nelspruit, in West Acres, in Bronkhorstspruit, in Gauteng, we've got. That's the information that we want. And to say, Honorable Mayor, Mr. Sibande is staying in Sonyeva, house number 3. Those are the information. We do see these houses and they are vandalized and they make the towns, our towns look like a, how can I put it? You understand? The houses, the way they are vandalized, you know, the towns doesn't look, you can see it's like there are no people in this department who are specifically dealing with that. Assist us, please. Thank you, Chair.
All right. But Lenzana, we have a second round. Okay, let me give you opportunity, Bob Lenzana.
Thanks, Chairperson. thanks for the opportunity, Chairperson. I've listened to a number of questions raised, and Chair, let me start by checking with the DG, perhaps. You have got this nice report, the first of its kind, this close interaction of the National Public Works now with the provinces. Now you are talking National Public Works province, National Public Works province, no more your regions. Where do you place your regions now? Because we have been fighting with you around non-consultation of provinces, but now it looks like you are with provinces. Are you now in control of these provinces, DG? If no, why are there no provincial reps in this so critical meeting? Because there's a lot that you are saying it is the responsibility of provinces in this meeting, but they are not here, and you are busy committing them from page to page or from slide to slide. Chair, there is this mention of service providers assisting the department. I know it is just but a way of cushioning the word consultants. And from the word go, we have been saying to the Department of Public Works, try to stop the use of consultants. You have been a culprit of using consultants, but to date you are mentioning to us that you have contracted service providers. Who are these service providers? Aren't these some of the people who jumped out of public works? Is it not this a javelin kind of an arrangement where you have people who are inside and now throwing javelin to them so that they pick it out there? Chair, it's slide 9, but you have said pages there, your page 9. Which is very clear in terms of articulating the work done in provinces. And you made an example of the Eastern Cape. Can I ask DG a simple question? Does it mean that all unused state properties in the Mount Fred town of the Eastern Cape are accounted for? if we can go together to Mount Frere, would you be able to account for those state buildings which are in Mount Frere now, as per this information that you are giving us? Chair, I'm not going to harp on the time frames, because if you look at that page 20, let me not ask you, DG, let me tell you. Those time frames are inconsistent with what you gave us in the meeting of the 12th of August 2012. But now what I would like to know, I know my colleagues have picked on a few. My question would be a generic one. How big is the shift from the original time frame? And also, how much is the impact on financial escalation? Remember, you said to us on that 12th August 2012, your asset register enhancement project had an estimated budget of about 50 million. That was then. And it had to be completed by 2007-2008. Here we are now. What is the impact? Chair Pence, I will say it's a second round.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Also, I'd like to align myself with the colleagues who are saying that at least there is something tangible from the paper, but we ought to be practical now, because there is a quite difference between a theory and practical. You see, DG, let's go to your own presentation. I will call it a page or a slide. You see, Mama Temba, you have touched something with Babu Jacobs, something which is very touchy, that all of you, in fact, we don't want to regret our term. Are you aware that at the moment we are having our kids with us? We don't want to fall. We don't want to fail him and Ubabu Mhoro. We don't want to fall at my back. We don't want to fail them, because they played a very significant role in our strike. So we don't want to fail them. Then come to the question. In your own presentation, in the overview of the Department of Public Works on immovable assets register, I can't call it a page or a slide, on form, there are two things which you must help me with. Number one, you said linking of structures to land parcel significant, completed. And then again, the last one, global state land reconciliation completed. But at the end, you speak about deadline, that some of the things have been shifted to 2014. So what is there? Which is which? Because somewhere you have reported that completed. Somewhere that there are things which are still, you know. So if you can take me on board on that one. And then also, Babumlenzane, you've touched a very, very significant thing. When they were speaking about it, because previously they used to tell us about their regions. It was the Department of Public Works and the regions. And then now we are talking about the provinces where, you know, I'll put an example on page 36. You spoke about, you were giving us about the audit opinion about the provinces which got disclaimers and qualified. For an example, you said Eastern Cape, disclaimer. And then you said Limpopo, they found a disclaimer. You said Northwest, they've got a disclaimer. And then the others, they've got only one which is having which qualified is Free State. All of them are unqualified. So, help us. Where is your region? Where are your regions? Because at the same time, in the past, we used to raise some concern about the synergy of the linking of the system. We were talking about that your system must talk to each other. Because as long as your system doesn't talk to each other, that's where you're going to encounter problems. Then also, on slide number 9, while we're doing the presentation, there's somewhere when you spoke about the provinces, when we spoke about what, I wanted you to know exactly when you're giving us some of the positions of the provincial department of public works. You know, also which is linked with page 36 or slide 36, which provinces which doesn't comply? Because it seems that some provinces are not complying as it was anticipated. And then also you raise an issue on slide number 13 about the issue of capacity. When you were giving that presentation of slide number 13, you said you need more capacity. Who doesn't have capacity? Is it the province which doesn't have a capacity, or is it a region which doesn't have capacity, or is it national which doesn't have capacity? Because for us, as parliamentarians, it's for us maybe to make a recommendation that you must be capacitated, or you need more. But if you can take us on that one. And then on slide number 20, you spoke about there are things which are worrying me. You said devaluation immobile assets to provinces, and then you said 90% complete. You know, that is worrying me. If you link that 90% complete, and which page 4, which saying some of the things are not, which are not, and then you come back that operation bring back. Who must bring back? You're talking about the land or your land, or you're talking about the assets. Who must bring back? Because, you know, it's worrying whereby we say operation bring back, but who's supposed to bring back? We should be specific to say, so that we can know exactly that, for an example, Mr. Sibande or Mr. Jacobs supposed to bring back this and this and this and this. Who's supposed to bring back? For an example, I'll put an example in terms of the human settlement. If you go to most of the townships, we are experiencing a problem where some of the informal settlement, they are also building on top of wet land because of the non-land. But you are saying operation bring back. Who's supposed to bring back? I mean, please clarify us. And then also, which is worrying me, on page 33, I'll talk about the issue of the Auditor General, some of the things which were said about the Auditor General. The Auditor General was unable to perform alternative procedures to confirm the existence of valuation or completeness, right and obligation of immovable and tangible capital assets disclosure in the financial statement. Some of the reports, they indicated the following. That number one, the non-existent of a complete asset register of the all immovable properties belonging to the national government under the custodianship of the Department of Public Works. Then also, some of the things which was raised by the Auditor General is that the department, in conjunction with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, and all provincial departments, custodians, is to lead the government wild initiative to complete the vesting of the state-owned land by 2014. So the question on that one, is it possible to reach that, as some of the members were raising some of the lines, deadlines which were set and then were shifted gradually, is it possible to reach that one? And then also, the thing which was raised in the report of the Auditor General is that unable to obtain the sufficient and appropriate audit evidence to determine the existence, valuation, completeness and rights and obligations of immovable tangible capital assets. So, if you can take us on board that what happened, who is who? I'll be very much grateful because these things, you know, is worrying us. Because time and again, when we met 2009, we raised some of these things. 2010, 2011, 2012, we raised this thing. And in terms of your strategic plan, 2011 to 2013, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, 2011 to 2012, you said you completed 70% of the land parcels. Now, if you can assist us, was that target met, or it was not met? So if it was not met, what was the reason? Because our worry is one, most of the time you come here, you raise the issues, but the issue how to implement them and how to follow them up. I'd like to give this opportunity to start to respond.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's quite a lot of questions. My colleague will provide further elaboration on the specific questions that are asked on regarding the information of the update. With that, I will start and deal broadly with the issues of the task at hand. I'm certain that the honorable members of the committee will appreciate that in the last 2 years we've been displayed on assets. That indicated the enormity and the problems that are associated with our assets registry. I'm unable to elaborate on the basis of the specific plans that were in place at the time when we came here last year. But certainly the reviews with regard to the timeline that you see here are based on our full assessment of what's outstanding, what's been achieved, and what is still to be done. As you will see, we report considerable progress with regard to some of the issues that were blocking us from being able to achieve and move forward significantly. And these related to the other role players in Gambia, such as rural development and the Surveyor General's Office, National Treasury, which we had to engage thoroughly on all the aspects that affect those, particularly those that are at the policy level and are blocking our ability to achieve. I think with the success we have recorded with regard to those engagements, the plan that we're putting forward is realistic, realizable, but it still has the risks of the dependencies from those departments, which are things that we have as managers. We have to manage as managers, and we will continue to do so. I really apologize for the fact that we could not have reached a stage where we will have concluded this matter during your current term of office, Chair. But I would hope if there aren't significant changes at the top level of the leadership of the department, certainly by the end of the next term we will have reached our destination with regard to what we want to achieve in this exercise. Chair, therefore, in summary, the reconsideration of the date, Chair, is not based on trying to push and not being accountable to Parliament and to the committee. It is reconsidered on the basis of realistic realistic targets with regard to the work that has already been done. And we're not going to shift those unnecessarily without explanation in future, because those are the dates that we've put, which we will adhere to. Chair, the only thing that in the main remains significantly behind is the issue of evaluation, which we are doing in the current year. I think with regard to the specific information that honorable members are crying for, with regard to whether or not if a member were to give me a description of a piece of land and whether I would then be able to locate it, that I think, bar the cases that may not have been recorded either in the deeds register or in our asset register, I am confident that if it is owned by government, we will be able to find either in our register or in one of the other custodians' registers, or in the which includes the provincial departments. If there was an opportunity, and I was saying this to the presenter just before we started, that maybe next time or when we are ready, when we come for this kind of presentation, we'll actually bring the full asset register electronic version, so that then if there are specific questions, we can be able to answer them on the spot.
so that members can get the confidence whether or not we are making that progress. We unfortunately have to summarize the information in order to present it here. But Chair, I think from a completeness perspective, in the tests that were done by the Auditor General, they were able to confirm that the assets were on the register. The reconciliations that we continue to do are actually meant to ensure that we reconcile that. We reconcile existence, we reconcile post-discovery, specific discoveries with regard to the ownership. We reconcile that, we move the assets to the relevant authority when we have all the evidence that indicates that asset would have been vested appropriately. The other thing, Chair, which I think relates to those properties that are owned by Human Settlements. If you recall, the program of Human Settlements allocates houses. First, they buy land, they build on that land, they do township establishment processes, and they subdivide the urban, and then at the end of the process, they then allocate those houses to the individual subsidy beneficiaries. But before they have done that, those properties would be deemed to be owned by government. And I think the numbers for Human Settlements you'll find will always be different, will be more than targets, because it only reflects either those properties are still in the process of development or that may not have been transferred to the beneficiaries at the time of reporting. But Human Settlements can account for those themselves. What we have here is just the global numbers of those based on our deeds matching as part of the verification. Chair. I think the other questions I'm going to ask my colleagues to help me. And then if there's any other one that I will then deal with. I will start with the CFO. If there's anything that relates to budget and the service providers.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. I'll just try and respond to some of the questions that have been posed, and I think the very clear, straight one is the one about budget. We, for this current year, we're looking at a budget of about 54 million rands for the program to spend on the asset register program. And the spend is largely around the process for the physical verification of the actual assets. The bulk of the spend is actually will be on the compensation of employees, which we will be engaging to manage the project for ourselves, for the department, and about 20 million of that, 50 million, 30 million of that 50 million, 54 million, will go to the service providers to provide the necessary intervention that we need to have to do the physical verification. And in terms of the service providers that we are utilizing to assist us with this program, we've appointed two consortia. One is a consortium of PricewaterhouseCoopers and Sekela to assist with the physical verification. The second one is a company by the name of Evaluations, to assist us with the physical verification. The whole point of the engagement of the service providers is because of the enormity of the task that needs to be carried out. One, we're looking at about 35,000 land parcels on which we have about 74,000 structures which need to be physically verified, and the conditions of those structures assessed, the occupancy, the whole detail with respect to those structures. So it's a fair amount of work that internally in the department would not have that requisite numbers of people to go out and do the physical verification in the time that we put to ourselves to achieve the objectives. So yes, I think we did indicate earlier on that because we're in a turnaround mode, the department is in a turnaround phase to turn itself around. We will at some point in time have to engage
a significant amount of service providers, because part of the reasons where the department is at is purely because of the lack of necessary human resource capacity within the department to do the kind of things that needs to be done. And because of the enormity of the task, we're going to need to engage external interventions in terms of additional capacity on a short-term basis to assist with the work that needs to be done. But clearly, in terms of the engagements that we, or in terms of engagements that we give to the service providers, there's a strong element of skills development and transfer to the departmental officials. So that concerns, that's part of the deliverable of the service providers, that part of what they do, they've got to impart their skills to the officials of the staff of the department, so that we can then internally carry forward the work that they would have done for us. Right now what we needed was a quick intervention, compile the asset register, go out there, identify and look at the buildings that we have and determine the conditions and the square metrage of these buildings, and we needed to do this quite quickly and achieve the results that we need to achieve as we set out by 2014 to achieve. Yeah. So that's really the reason why we would need to have engaged service providers. But like I've indicated, the engagement is fairly minimalistic. We have not gone out on a wholesale engagements of consultants or service providers to do the work that we are doing.
And I think to conclude on that, once we have reached, we have fulfilled the functions we have hired them for, we will significantly reduce the use of consultants in this environment. As we are doing the work now, we're also looking at a structure change that is going to be appropriate for, because our asset register must be maintained by internal people on a full-time basis, both for and on the department as well as on the PMTE. Thanks.
Chairperson, I'll answer the remaining questions, and my colleague Florence Babada, the Chief Director Asset Register Management, will assist with one or two that she has specific knowledge of. In relation to the capacity issue on vesting and the targets moving to the right, if you like, my understanding is the scale of the exercise, the capacity within the regional offices of public works as well as within the provinces to provide the supply line or the pipeline of information on assets, which then has to be examined and approved by rural development, leading to the signing of the vesting certificate. I indicated in my presentation that the provinces, National Public Works, and Rural Development are in development of a business case that seeks exactly to understand how many people do we need to put to do this. The original anticipated date, which was given as 2014, simply wasn't attainable. Part of the vesting process, for instance, means a plethora of investigations on the actual physical site, looking at the asset, various issues relating to this from a town planning perspective, the various qualities of the asset from a town planning perspective. There's a lot of information that has to be put together in a submission through to rural development. The vesting business case then that is required for both the custodians that provide the information to rural development as well as rural development in assessing and processing it will give exactly the capacity that's needed. But from our perspective, the supply side alone to rural development will be met by 31st March 2016. And we've onboarded an additional 53 staff members spread throughout our regional offices to assist us with this process. Such is the scale of the exercise. With regards to the title deeds and where are they, my understanding is that the regional offices of our National Public Works have title deeds for the properties, but they do not have all of them for legacy issues. And what we are doing, we're in the process of acquiring copies of the title deeds from rural development. The reconciliation that we have done, which is for registered properties, used the title deeds in rural development as the basis of the assets that we've been reconciling. We are building up the database within Public Works to ensure that the title deeds we have and those that we need to supplement where we do not have those are going to be kept. And the system that we've acquired is known as a paper trail system over and above the safeguarding of the original title deeds. In relation to the question that seeks to ask who is the responsible person for the asset register, we are currently in development of an operating model that seeks not only for Public Works, but on the broader spectrum of custodians to put together, if you like, an organizational branch that is adequately resourced and capacitated. Currently, the project is being run at the level of the Chief Director, and my colleague Florence Rabada is the Chief Director, Asset Register Management. But moving forward, we're looking at the operating model geared to do this master or preeminent custodian role over the asset register. The relationship with the teams that we have with the provincial Public Works, our regional offices, as well as us at National, I think the engagement starts, if you like, there's robust discussions at the level of MINMAC, there's robust discussions at the level of technical MINMAC. Incidentally, the forthcoming technical MINMAC of Friday will require 5 provincial Public Works to report progress on their asset register enhancement. The balance will then follow through in the next technical MINMAC. Down at the level of the operational, we have meetings every 2 months and then specific meetings called as and when is required. For instance, the meeting on Friday with the Accountant General. 2 weeks prior to that, there was a meeting with the provinces on the IE work system, which is aiming to get that uniform system platform that the chairperson indicated is a prerequisite for consolidating the information. So there are specific meetings, and there are scheduled meetings every 2 months. The key role players will change, but predominantly it's the asset register staff members in the provinces as well as in National that are present in these meetings. If it's an IT spin, then the IT people from the departments get drawn in to support the asset register component to understand. In relation to the budget, my colleague has responded. The specifics of where is the physical asset register, as articulated by the DG, as National, we do have the static information, and certainly when we present again, we will bring these with us, and we will gladly be able to do that. In relation to the occupancy of the assets and what is going to be done about them, I think the physical verification exercise is aimed exactly to verify that for now. Just to go out by the end of the year and see who and reconfirm our knowledge of who's in which assets. Clearly, if there are irregularities, that will be brought forward, and through the structures of the department and the provinces, clearly that all these irregularities would be addressed. In relation to the custodian letters on the provinces, this was an initiative that we championed as National Public Works to bring certainty to understand who are the custodians that should have asset registers at a provincial level. And in terms of the legislation, the Premier would have had to appoint a specific department to be a custodian of an asset register. What we requested through our Minister's office is evidence of these letters, which we now have. So we've defined who all the custodians are at national and provincial level. The letters were merely evidentiary documentation. The question on the secondary service providers has been responded to. The deeds reconciliation. I think that's what we were indicating, that our first assertion that we met at the end of the financial year was to reconcile the asset register databases that we have to the information in the deeds office, getting those title deeds and confirming which arm of government is responsible for that. The system, yes, Everybody has, certainly between the public works families, national and provincial, everybody has decided to go with the IE works. And as indicated in my presentation, over the next 2 months, there's certain sign-offs to make sure that every specific requirement of each of the provincial as well as the national custodian requirements on IE works is built into the system. So in the new year, when the system does start being utilized, it's to the level that is required for all the custodians' ASIB registers. The 90% complete devolved properties, one of my slides, I'm just turning to that specific slide, it's slide number 10. It indicated that historically, Public Works National and the provinces had records of each other's assets. And part of these we had devolved to the provinces. So in the bigger scheme of things, this was a sub-project within the overall project. And the 90% reconciliation talks to that exercise. But in the global amount, this list of assets, which amounts to 50,364, let's bring certainty to that. We had devolved it. Are they agreeing that they need it, that they want it, that they're using it? If not, what do we retain? And that's the exercise that's been done, for which 1,230 properties still remain to be reconciled. In relation to Operation Bring Back, the exercise is aimed at taking back the assets that may have gone astray over the years. And I think at this stage, because we're repackaging the program, perhaps our subsequent presentation will give greater detail. The originally conceptualized program was an amnesty period where people with information could bring this forward. But clearly that relies on a certain measure of integrity and honesty, if you like. We think that perhaps we need to also have a measure of taking back. And we are packaging that, and certainly if required we can discuss that as soon as that is more developed. The last question in relation to the targets on a specific APP in a specific year, the figure of 70,000, that target was achieved, but it was a desktop analysis. It was not a physical analysis. So we have ongoing processes of desktop analysis to be supported now by the physical verification as an additional soundboarding, as an additional cross-checking and verification of our data. Thank you, and over to Florence. I think there was a question in relation to...
Okay, thank you very much. The question that was asked relating to the linking of structures to land parcels and the significantly completed progress that is reported as per page slide 4 of the presentation. One of the honourable members indicated the 30 million rand which was allocated for the immovable asset register program between 2005 and 2008. Now, at the time, only 33,000 land parcels were subjected to the program and not the entire asset register. And only those assets were linked, the linking. Basically, you would find that in an asset register, you do have a list of land parcels as reconciled against the deeds register, and then you would also have improvements on the side. Some of the improvements were not linked to the land parcels. So as you're looking at the asset register, you wouldn't know which improvement is sitting on which piece of land. So the exercise that took place between 2005 and 2008, which costed the department 30 million, was to precisely do that. However, the remaining is what we are now doing going forward. Hence, we are reporting the significantly completed. And this is going to be achieved through the current physical verification that is taking place, where the linking of improvements is going to be completed. The other issue, the other question that was raised by one of the honourable members on the ownership of immovable assets as to who in the government, national, provincial, and provincial spheres of, and local spheres of government. Perhaps if I can just start briefly by providing the that the evolution of political systems in the country had a variety of implications on the proper management of state properties. And unfortunately, the evolution didn't, it took place faster than what the metamorphosis regarding the management of immovable assets took place. What it basically means is that political systems would change and then government would then catch up later as to how the immovable assets would then be managed between all spheres of government. For instance, you would find still today when you go to the deeds register, you would still find properties that are still registered under the name of the provincial administration of Cape of Good Hope, Natal, Orange Free State, Transvaal, Republic of Transkei, so forth and so on. So the process of vesting is then intended to then ensure that those properties are then allocated to the correct sphere of government, and this is done through the Section 239 of the Constitution to ensure that assets are then placed within the correct sphere of government and managed as well. As to how then decisions are made on the assets, based on the legislative competence that the Constitution indicates, for instance, if a municipality is interested in utilizing a property that is under the custodianship of national department, there would be engagement between the two spheres of government, and land would then be transferred either through Section 42 transfer, or to ensure that the property then moves from one sphere to the next sphere. But the Constitution is very clear as to who the custodians are as per the legislative competences, as per Section 236 and 235 of the Constitution, also in all spheres of government. I think we have.
Just a little bit more further clarity from my side, especially with respect to slide 4, because the chairperson asked a question as well, just to add to what Florence responded to, that we indicate significantly complete on the linking of the structures, and then global state land reconciliation is complete, and it doesn't talk to the target that we moved to March 2016. I think maybe it's worth mentioning that within this whole asset register compilation program, there is sub-programs. You create certain milestones, or you have certain milestones that you can achieve to work towards the end state of having a proper asset register. Now, the linking of the structures or whatever, that's all about reconciliations of different or various records that exist that deal with the asset register, or with the assets. Now, once you've done the reconciliation, you need to go to the next stage, which is to ensure that you physically verified your assets, you have valued them, so that's the process. So it's milestones that you need to carry out. And maybe just for the members' sake as well, as in, what have we achieved ever since we've been, members of the committee in terms of progressing this asset register? I think there's been a significant amount of achievement, by the mere virtue of your aggressive oversight role that you've played. We have moved the asset register from a disclaimer, from an issue that was disclaimed by the AG, and the disclaimer means it's a meaningless thing, doesn't exist, we don't know what it's all about, to a qualification, and that qualification itself is fairly isolated as to what the actual issue is. The issue is one thing about valuation, and if you look at the amounts as well, if you go back to the history, the disclaimer cited, numbers of 4 billion rands, it cited the issue around the existence, the rights, the allocation of properties in the asset register. It listed a whole lot of things, cited an amount of 4 billion, as I said. In this situation, from where we're moving from to where we are, which is a qualification, we're talking of a valuation of an amount of 664 million rands.
which is a significant improvement. So, yes, I think that's really what the committee can say we've achieved. It's a long journey that we need to walk to get to where we're supposed to be. As a registered state, I mean, like we said, it's about 35,000 land parcels and about 25,000 structures. It's a fairly enormous task to get it right, and it requires time as well. So I think, yes, we are achieving the milestones that we are achieving. We're walking towards a particular end state, and we're almost there.
Thank you, sir. Unless there's any specific question that the members may want us to deal with.
As I indicated, most of the time I'm the last person. I wanted to give this opportunity to members. Members, I'll request that we mustn't be long this time. Just short, so that we can allow the issue of the minutes. I'll start by Honorable Lenz and coming this side again.
Thanks, Jefferson. It's not a new question. It's a follow-up.
You know, Chairperson, I'm laughing when listening to the manner in which the Chief Director is actually articulating. She's like schooling us. Thanks for Mkhabur. This is what we know. With due respect, this is what we know. This is why we were so emphatic from time immemorial. Thanks for the systems that we are grappling with. Plan, revised plan, plan after plan, but no implementation. With due respect. There's one thing that we want, DG, as this select committee. We want to know if you, as this department, know where the state land is. Period. That is what we want. Now, if now you're going to put system after system and not addressing the core, to us that is meaningless, with due respect. We have been saying, we know that some of the state land has been stolen. Can you account for that? We know that there are people who are roaming around. You are flying from Pretoria to here. Can you account for the land that you are flying over? From Pretoria to here. Can you tell us who is owning that land? That is what we want. This theory about evolution of politics, this is what we know. Some of us have been in municipalities for that matter. We know the transactions that we are talking about. We are not interested in that. We are interested in knowing what is it that we have done to make sure that the state land. Look what the DG is saying. Check through you. The DG is promising us now that come 20, what will be the end of the second term? He's not even talking of this term. He's saying perhaps by the end of the second term. Which means it will be 2019. So what you are telling us is that you are still going to shift the time frames. In fact, that's what we are telling us, boldly so, that you are going to keep on shifting the time frames till we all die, until all this land is grabbed to nothing, because that is currently what is happening now in South Africa, that people are busy grabbing state land, and you are telling us today that you are busy with systems putting in lots and lots of money into systems, but not implementing what you are called to implement. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Nzane, followed by Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Only one question, and that is regarding the last page of last slide 36 about disclaimers and qualified and unqualified disclaimers that people have got. The disclaimers on the Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and the Northwest. What is going on there? Is there no progress in these provinces? Are you not getting the people to work with you? And I want the reasons, please. Thank you.
Yeah, Chair. Also, mine is a follow-up. From the presentation, we are told that next time we would get a copy of the asset register. We don't want it that time. They must send it to us.
We wanted that register so that we must be able to scrutinize it and see what you are saying. It is in alignment with what has been written down. So I think that's important. And we need to also check to monitor that they send that copy. We need that copy because all what we are saying here, we want to know what is exactly happening. Seemingly, it's very difficult to get this asset register. Even in our province, they say asset register is there. But when you want it, you don't get it. And here we want it from the national department. They still don't have it. They say no. They'll bring it along. So I think, Chair, as usual, within 2 weeks we get that asset register. And the other one is escalation of costs. Because it was 30 million and we have been told now it's 54 million. So we are getting to 2016. How many millions will be there? Because if we keep on stretching the time frames, it means the costs are involved there. Why can't we have just a certain time next year, it's finished and plan, and then we can move on?
Honourable Member Mama Temba.
Thank you, Chairperson. If maybe Mr. Mokoro, if maybe we were saying we have achieved, you're saying we have achieved, you're telling us as members that we have achieved, but we're saying to you, we want to see the results. So don't say to us for the fact that you are here, we have achieved. We haven't achieved like we wanted to achieve. And the political, the free lecture. You know, when we were taking parliament to the people, the people on the ground are talking about this. So it's for us, we understand your political, you said political evolution, but we understand. But what is the department doing? Do we know who occupies those structures? Do you really know? Do you understand who are the people? Because the people on the ground, I'm telling you, we were in the in Tshwane, in Gauteng. But the people are pointing fingers. If you can go, why don't you say, give the service provider, go and check, give us the results, so that we can inform the committee what is happening. We went to Limpopo and then we told this department also about the houses. We're talking of each province, Mpumalanga, Northwest. Tell us what is happening in these houses. Until we are, China, we are politicians. We understand the political. But tell us what is happening. Thank you.
Right, let me also join my colleagues. Sisi unfortunately spoke about evolution. You see, some of the things when you raise it, you ought to be careful because we are dealing with those matters daily. I'll put an example. There is a question which was outstanding, which I also wanted to make a follow-up. But let me start with you first. Some of the land, if you can ask me, where was the land? Remember, those times, Honorable Grunewald, do you still remember the Plasbure, the farmers? They had outspan. Each and every town, there was a land called outspan. Where is that land? What happened with it? What happened with it? To an extent, some of this land, they end up planting citruses. Where I'm coming from in Mpumalanga, there were oranges which had a stem which was called out. The oranges we had a stem with the stem earmarked outspan. Meaning that those oranges are from the product of those citrus farms. And then we got land which was also, they were able to convert it to Sakol, where they've got their plantations, tree plantations, you know. So, Mama Temba was correct because the former homelands, Wandebele, what have, these big structures and the like, where are those things? There are a lot of things involved there. And then to come to the question, you know, on page 20, you spoke about Operation Bring Back, and I asked, nobody responded to that question. Who's supposed to bring back? Where? Where are those things? What must be brought back? From your own, I mean, this is not my document, it's your own presentation. When we were asking questions, we were asking questions from your own presentation, not from us. Because from us we can ask lots of things. But today we were specific to the presentation which you are dealing about. Operation Bring Back. Bring what? Where is it? And then also there's the question which you didn't respond to, where I've said the Department of Public Works vesting target for 2011-2012 was complete 70% of the land parcels. My question was that, was that target met or it was not met? Why? Why was, if it was not met, what were the challenges? So these are some of the questions which are, I mean, I can go on and on, but let me leave it there at this moment so that you can assist us to respond to that particular questions. I'll thank you and give you this opportunity to respond.
Thank you, sir. I think there's a request about availing the asset register to members of the committee.
Sorry, before you respond,
yes.
There was a thing which was requested by Honourable Member Jacobs. That report, please request that report within 14 days.
What's the asset register?
Yes.
Yes. That is what I was to address, yeah. I show you the request is for 14 days, within 14 days. That's fine. We'll provide that. But for that, I must just indicate to the members, it's a very voluminous report. I don't know how many pages.
Four files.
Yeah. So it's been, perhaps you can provide it electronically. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. The issue of the cost and the escalation of cost relates to the NEF. I think we are in the final stages of completing this thing, even if of this exercise. I think I cannot account for what happened or didn't happen in the past, but at least now, everything that we're doing, we're implementing. It's not only the plans. Perhaps when we come back, we will indicate against what we reported and what we had planned to do, how far have we gone, so that it becomes very clear to the members whether we're making progress or not in the areas that we'll have indicated. But I think the costs were necessary because I think at the time when this exercise was undertaken, there were issues around what it was, quantities that were based on what is known. On the ground, as things emerged, we had to reconcile and we realized that there was actually quite a number, more properties than we had thought we had, which we are now reconciling to. And those have an impact on the amount of work that needs to be done. And secondly, I think we've had to utilize them to assist us even with regard to some of the other areas that the Auditor General found. If you take Operation Clean Audit, for example, we would have had to deal with issues of irregular expenditure, things that were reported on which were not quantified, and we had to quantify them starting from some years back. If I go to the questions of Mama Temba, I note that the question about the achievement. I think the CFO was trying to indicate at least the extent of your oversight, effect of your oversight on us. We may not have achieved everything we would have wanted to, but certainly the progress made today is not insignificant itself, and I think that is thanks to your vigilant oversight. So we still think that you have done very well. in that regard. I think when we give you the asset register, you may then be able to identify the assets that you think you know you want to be able to verify against that asset register. If it's not there, we'll provide the necessary explanations. But to the extent that we have been audited, and to the extent that all records available have indicated what is owned by the national government, provincial government, in the public works arena, we have accounted for everything. I think it is also important that we state today, so that it becomes easy. There are various departments that are custodian departments. I think there was a presentation that in a slide that indicates which other departments. I think Foreign Affairs, DERCO, Rural Development, which actually owns the big, probably in terms of volume and size, the biggest portfolio of state land, and most of which is unsurveyed. Yeah? If we want the totality of what government owns, it might be useful to call the two departments together to make joint presentations, so that then you can get a full together with the other ones that have custodian function. I think that will give you the extent of the state ownership, land portfolio ownership. In that regard, Chair, that which is vested, so that which is national government owned, vested in the National Department of Public Works, we will be able to account for everything in that asset register that we will give to the members. I think my colleagues will answer the question with regard to those specific pieces of land in Mpumalanga, Shop Coal, etc. I didn't get exactly what the issue is, but I think they will probably be able to respond. Now, if we can't, we'll then have to provide the information after today. Chair, I think before I give to the CFO and my colleagues to answer specific areas, I do want to state again, Chair, with humility, that the committee members, the members of the committee, should appreciate how much work has been done, certainly in the last year, with regard to completing this. I do believe that the results of the Auditor General of the current year, and we are certain of the coming years, will attest to this. It's not an easy exercise. It is big. What we would need to do is continuously update the committee as we make progress, as we do with the portfolio committee, so that we can give you the comfort with regard to what areas we're making progress and why we're not making progress in other areas. I'm going to ask my colleagues then to just answer the specific questions about the 2011, 12, 70%, etc., etc. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and honorable members. I will just try and provide some answer to a question around the provinces which have been disclaimed and if there's any progress with those provinces. I'll say we have a sector approach to how we're going to deal with the issues that the AG raises with respect to what is common amongst us, which is the asset register. As we did indicate, we work closely with the provinces through the normal, through the structures that we set up, the structures of which being the MINMAC structure. We have a technical MINMAC structure, which is the structure that is chaired by the DG and incorporates all the heads of our public works departments in the provinces. In addition to that, to just enhance the collaboration that we have with the provinces, we've also set up the CFO forums where myself as the CFO of National Public Works convenes a forum of CFOs from all the provinces. wherein we look at all the issues that have been raised by the AG, in addition to what common approach we should have for those items that we believe we can work together as a sector. I must think that the public works function is a concurrent mandate. There's no act that forces us to provide the role of oversight and as in other cases. However, these structures provide us an opportunity to have a consensus position with respect to matters that are common to ourselves. And in those structures, we then come up with plans of how we are going to assist one another in dealing with the issues that each one of us in our different areas has as a challenge. And one of the key items that has been identified with respect to how the sector should work together is around the compilation of the asset registers for each and every one of us, being the 9 provinces and national office. And that, in that regard, the issues that have been raised by the AG have been put forward. We've come up with a common approach to deal with those issues with respect to the provinces that have been disclaimed, in addition to the issues that we're going to deal with that have been identified as the issues of qualification. So yes, we have a common approach. We are going to be closely monitoring how the interventions that we're going to put in place in the provinces that have been disclaimed are being met. The AG himself has also identified the asset register as a key area which the National Public Works should provide an oversight role in ensuring that we actually have a common, we complete the exercise for ourselves and the provinces. So yes, I think that's what I can say about that. I think just to underscore the point, the asset register program is a multi-year program. It doesn't happen in 1 year. It happens over a period of time. And in this period of time, there's key things that we need to achieve over this time to get to the end state. And I just wanted to, we want you to hold us to what we say we're going to deliver over this period, over these multi-years. Similarly, the budget works that way as well. Whatever you want to achieve in the next year, there's a cost factor to it, there's a resource requirement, there's a budget that will be set for that year. So as an ongoing, as you achieve, as you set your milestones, you need to also budget and determine the resources that you're going to need for that. So a budget of 1 year would be for that year to achieve whatever you wanted to achieve that year. Then you have a following year to achieve whatever. So we set the path. What you're saying is, hold us to the path that you set in terms of what it is that you're going to achieve over the period of time. Yes, the idea is not to have this period forever. It needs to be shortened. We need to, at the end of the day, as Mama Priscilla said, we need to have an end product, and that end product is an asset register that we can all use. So I think that's really what we're working towards, and we're trying to achieve this soon. There was a question on the capitalization policy, which was not, I think we overlooked. Maybe I can answer that. That the draft is at a mature stage. I believe that we can conclude and finalize this policy by end of October, or November, if not before December recess. We will finalize this policy. It will be there. We will then utilize it to capitalize the costs. Yes, it's work in progress. And then we must bring back, I think I'm just going to make my own comment on that. Whoever must bring back is a person who's occupying whatever state property illegally. They've stolen it. That's the approach. The thinking is we wanted to adopt an approach that, SARS once had with people who are not declaring their incomes and their monies sitting all over the place. We incentivize them to say, come forward. We give you a period during which you must come forward and declare. What we are currently doing now, yes, we know where are some of these areas or places that have been occupied and taken by people illegally. But what we are saying is, from a systematic approach point of view, we first do the first phase of what we do, of the asset register being to first satisfy ourselves to know what it is that we own. That should be owning. That's phase one. Phase two then will come to, you have an opportunity to come forward and declare that it's not yours. Then we're going to go now and take back. So, once you've done the physical verification, we know who's occupying what and the conditions under which they occupy that, or the terms. Maybe there's no terms, they're just doing it. So that's the next phase. So the who must bring back is the people who have taken the land, stolen it, or the buildings, or are occupying this illegally. So that's really the targeted people to in terms of the operation bring back. Thank you, sir.
Chief Director will respond on the targets that were not or possibly met in the previous years.
Thank you, the target of 70% for vesting for 2011 and 12 was not met. And the figures that are presented today indicates that out of the 39,000 land parcels under the custodianship of the department, only 50,000 land parcels have been vested to date since 1994. So this translates to about 38% to date. So the plan would then be to fast track and finalize by the 31st of 2016 as presented earlier. And then to answer the questions from the chairperson as to why this was not achieved, the vesting process, what we basically did, we went through the vesting process. It is a process that is under the authority of the Department of Rural Development, whereby applications have got to stand at a provincial state land disposal committee on a monthly basis. And the challenges that we then found on the process was that it was a very lengthy process, which was then requiring information that custodians, both national and provincial, were not in the position to can produce at the time of presenting the applications at the peer services. For instance, one question that is key and that all the custodians were crying about that rural development should revise the process on was the issue on who was occupying, what the intention of the property was at the 27th of April 1994, midnight. And when you go to that committee, there would be a ping pong and the toing and froing, and then the members for the various spheres of government would then be, for lack of a better word, I will say, fight for the properties. Then as a result, then you'd end up not having to vest those properties because the question cannot be answered because you don't know what was happening on that piece of land. There's no proof. They want that provincial, that portfolio of evidence as to what was happening. Based on that, what we've done then, and to fast-track the process, we've then gone through the entire process for vesting. We've looked at the building blocks, and then what we did, together with rural development, we've unblocked all these kind of questions that are stagnating the process. And that question is no longer a question that is holding up custodians. So we are looking at the processes has been reviewed and so forth. So I think that is what was, at that committee, people would really be, and then we would go to a committee on a monthly basis with those submissions like that application forms, and then nothing would be approved. And then you go back to the next, and then it's that toing and froing again. But then processes have been put in place to ensure that there's no toing and froing between the spheres of government, and that has been settled with the process being simplified. That was the major bottleneck, and it has been resolved.
Thank you,
Chair. Honourable members, I think we are for a day. We have attempt maybe to interact with the department, but nevertheless, what we can say, DG, some of the things which made us to worry is the financial implication of some of our programs. And then also this prolonging and then of the processes. And then also what was raised by Babu Mleza about making duplication instead of the people from the department doing their own job and then hire people from outside to come and do 1, 2, 3. And then these are some of our concerns that we must limit. For an example, I want to repeat what was raised by the Minister of Finance with some of the things how to try to cap some of our spendings. But nevertheless, as we agreed, we'll request you that within 14 days to send us the report, the outstanding report. And then we'll take this matter furthermore. We'll check how to deal about it. But for a day, thank you very much to present yourself here. And I think we hope in the near future we might call you again. Because time and again, as in terms of the PFMA, as accounting officers, our duty is to do an oversight. We must call you time and again to assess about our whereabouts, where we are and what is happening. But nevertheless, for the day, thank you very much. I'll request members of Parliament to remain, and then the meeting from your side, I think, is adjourned from your side, and then we'll keep on or we'll continue from our side with other matters of the day. Thank you.